Good morning. Can we just give God a hand clap of praise? Revelation in every heart in this room. I pray your word goes forth, does what you intend for it to do. And Lord, I pray that we are the light. We are the servants for your kingdom. Help us to be mindful of who you are in us and who you are through us. And I ask your blessing over this word, your blessing over this day, your blessing over Sammy, and all of those in this house that need a touch from your hand right now, God. I pray you would strengthen and establish their health. And I give you the praise for that. But above everything else, may your word establish in us the heart for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So with what's required of you out of life, what have y'all got to do tomorrow morning when you wake up and hit the floor? What's required out of you to make your week happen, to make your, we got to go earn a living, we got to make things, we got house payments, we have obligations, and what's required of you to accomplish those things is the desire that you have to go forward and make it happen. Nobody knows your business like you do. So you and me know that when we wake up in the mornings, what we have to do to make things happen. Amen? But what's required of us for this, to make things happen? And Alan, I just, and everybody, Daniel, all of y'all that have taken part in that, to God be the glory for you this week. Because we don't see it happen. But there was a requirement behind it for it to get done. And so this morning, I want us to, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Luke, the 12th chapter. We're going to read a scripture here that Jesus spoke a parable, and he starts in verse 35. He said, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." I want to help you understand something about our waist being girded. For our waist to be girded means to be ready. It means to have a readiness about you. And here's the problem in the evangelical, the Christian community in America, is that we get saved, we do our little doings, and how are we driven to a life of prayer? Like this week has just been I've done a lot of praying this week, more than normal, because there's been a lot of things to go to the Lord about urgencies. But he says to be girded, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Our lamps should never be put down, but the evangelical community in America, we just set our lamp down and okay, I'm saved, I'm this, and we go through the rituals of things, but we're not steadfast in what God has called us to be. But listen to what Jesus goes on to say in verse 36. He said, "And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants." I want you to know this, that when we surrender to Jesus, we are a servant for his kingdom. Every one of us in this place, you're a servant for his kingdom. What do we serve? That's why our waist should be girded and that our lamps burning, that we are serving people that are in need. And when people call you and they're in distress, what do we have to offer them? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. End our life, and he gives us what to say, because if we match the distress that they're in, and we get, and I'm telling you, when it comes to people that you love walking through hard times, it can tear you up. But what? Who are we going to trust in that? We're not victims. We're victors. But if we keep our lamps burning and our waist girded and we stay ready for whatever, we don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, but we can know who's going to hold our hand through tomorrow. What are you trusting in? What are we trusting in? We have to be steadfast and trust in Jesus. And he said, blessed are the servants whom the master, when he comes, will find them, will find watching. And assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Do you know that God wants to serve you? Jesus wants to serve you in your life. It's not just get you saved and get you on your way to heaven and when you leave this earth, I'll see you in heaven. He wants to serve you through this time. And I'm telling you, I have watched God serve Damon and Sammy well this week. I have watched the mighty hand of God serve them well. And that can only come through our faithfulness and trust in him. And he says in verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? And I want you to watch what Jesus says right here in verse 42 through 48. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom when his master will find him so doing when he comes, truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant, here's that word again, this is what we are, and I think we forget that in the Christian community. But if that servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and apport him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will. Are y'all hearing what Jesus is saying? We have to do according to his will. If we're a faithful servant, we're servants for Jesus, and we have to learn from Jesus how to serve, even with our own families. Amen? And he said, if we prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And verse 48 said, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. To whom much is given, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will also ask the more. We beat ourselves up when we're not faithful and we're not, our waist isn't girded about us and we're not serving and being servants the way God has called us to be in this life. And then many Christians run around wondering, God, where are you? When distress comes or when trials come and we go through the process of life and something hits us that we had no idea was coming and we've not been faithful, then we wonder, God, where are you? And then God goes to getting the blame because of our lack of a commitment. But to whom much is given, much is required. And I want to tell you, when we meet the requirement of Jesus, the blessings flow. And I want to say this to you, that it's God is no respecter of persons. It don't matter what church we go to. It matters the faithfulness of the heart with Jesus. Amen. The church buildings we have can't do nothing for us. It's the relationship we have as individuals that make us strong. And it's the relationship we have as a body of believers that make us strong in a community. And so we're keeping in mind that we're all servants. But to whom much is given, much is required. As the disciples wait for Christ's return and his second coming, they were told by him to be ready. Ready for what? Ready for service. Are we ready to serve? When somebody that you know that may not come to this church, but they know you're a believer, when they hit a vulnerable time in their life and life deals them a blow, are they able to call you? Because they know what you have. They know your relationship with Jesus because it's manifest. If one is not expecting his master's return and is unfaithful and foolish in his doings, this person will be judged by the King of Glory. Unfaithful believers will be held accountable based on the knowledge and responsibility that they had. We can have knowledge, but it goes beyond that. And that's what I think too many of us get hung in the knowledge, and we don't walk in the Spirit of the Almighty God, because John chapter 4, verse 24, makes it very plain that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is being honest with who I really am with Jesus. People do things in life and they have to hide it. We don't want people to know. I don't want people that I go to church with to know what I do, so they hide things. Let me share this with you. When you're hiding things, you're jeopardizing your soul. It don't matter if I see it. You better know that the Master sees it all. And when he sees the lack of commitment, it's like the person, if they're sitting over there on the job, if you're a boss in this place and you got somebody sitting on your job doing a job you've asked them to do, and they're sitting over there with a cell phone in their hand, what are you going to think of that person? And then you may just be the manager of that department. Well, I can't do nothing with him. I can't fire him. So I'm going to tolerate it. But you know that if I need something, I ain't going to that person to get them to help me out of this situation, because they're uncommitted. And we have to understand that when we get this relationship with Jesus, it goes beyond the knowledge of him. It goes beyond that knowledge that we have about how we're supposed to be. It's not a life lived like that. The Lord don't want you putting pressure on yourself. When you're forgiven, I want you to know something, that you're forgiven. But it goes beyond forgiveness. It goes to something that starts manifesting yourself. And we talked about it last week, like that cup of coffee that we walk around with that just manages to spill itself somehow, that we didn't spill it out of there because we were holding it still. I still don't understand the coffee deal. But when we're full of God and people have an issue in their life, they're going to know who I can call, because I need help. I need help in my time of trouble. But unfaithful believers will be held accountable based on the knowledge and responsibility that they have with Jesus. And leaders will even be held to a higher standard. I want you to jump with me over to James, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and 2. He said, my brethren, not Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. So we get saved, we get knowledge, then we want to do things and we get involved and we're serving and this and that, but are you cultivating the relationship that God wants to have with you? Now I want you to back up with me to chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you your faith. I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So we can say this, and hang on before we go to verse 21. We can say, man, I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of faith. But if we compromise in our life, and we compromise who we are, and we compromise our witness, we compromise our service. When we compromise and we live a life that ain't honoring God, and we'll cuss and tell the dirty jokes with the boys, we'll drink with our buddies on the tailgate of a truck. When we compromise who we are, what is it? And listen, I'm not wanting to give you something that on work-based relationship with God. But your relationship as you build it with God will cause you to move from where you used to be and become a new man. The Bible talks about the old man dying and the new man coming alive. There's things that we just begin to separate ourselves from through the spirit and power of Almighty God and the love that He has for us and the love that He's birthing in our heart for Him and for His kingdom. It separates us from this world. But if we look like the world, where are we? But he comes here in verse 21. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And was that not, that was an action, right? The action on the job is not sitting on your cell phone, looking on Facebook and everything else, but it's the what's required of me by my employer, and I'm doing what's required of me, and I want to earn my paycheck. And what we do with God in our surrender and submission to His authority is allow Him, His blessings to come into our life. When we won't live a surrendered life, when we won't live an obedient life, we stop the blessings of God from coming into our life. Amen? We stop it. Because God is no respecter of person, but if when we are faithful to Him, the Bible says He will never see the righteous forsaken. And what we have to do is understand that the righteous requirement that God births in us brings us to a place that we separate ourselves from all of this stuff that preoccupies us and draws us away and destroys our witness, and we don't have our waist girded about us for His kingdom. We're not ready for service. Watch here in verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with His works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Now, I'm going to give y'all a little bit of the backstory. Abraham took his son and laid him on the altar. God told him to sacrifice his son. And Abraham takes Isaac, he binds him, lays him on the altar, and draws back to kill him. And then the Lord sent an angel and called him to stop, and he provided a lamb, had the little lamb caught caught by the horns, and God provided a lamb. But it was Abraham's faithfulness from the heart, from the spirit, because he believed God. How much do you believe God today? How much do we believe that God does miracles today? How much do we believe that God is faithful to the faithful? Watch verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise was Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messenger and sent him out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works is dead also. So as believers, and how we have our lamp burning is that we're faithful to what God is calling us to do, and we're faithful to his will in our life and not our own. We're bought with a price. And this is how we get the blessed life. There are two ways, and there's two keys to experiencing breakthrough, and that's faith and works. We can say we have faith, or I'm a person of faith. I hear that a lot in our culture, that I'm a person of faith, but we don't have to tell people that we're a person of faith. People should see our faith, amen? This is what Paul is writing. This is what Jesus was saying to his disciples. Our faith should be made manifest in who we are. We got the WWJD t-shirt, the WWJD bracelet. Jesus is not a fashion statement. He is in our hearts, and he directs our lives on the internal side of man, and he leads us and guides us. And when we face adversity, he is there to see us through that adversity. He don't take us around it. He don't give you a shortcut. Oh, that's not going to bother you. You got to walk through that adversity. And when you walk through that adversity and people see who you trust in, you ain't had to say nothing about your faith, because it's greater is the one, he that's in you, than he that's in the world. And then people go, man, I want what he's got. Come on now. We weaken ourselves. We weaken our culture. We weaken who we are because we don't meet the requirement that God has placed on us. And through the scripture, he lets us see what's required of us as an individual in order for our lamp. You don't get to decide when the lamp goes out. You don't get to decide when the lamp is lit. It is controlled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And if your lamp ain't burning, don't think you can light it. Only Jesus can light that lamp. But he only lights that lamp by us meeting the requirement that is placed on us. But there's two ways that we have a blessed life, and that is faith and works. The way we have faith is by asking God and hearing his word. That builds our faith. I believe that God will see us through. I believe that all the adversity that we go through, that if we trust God, that he will see us through. And once he tells us what to do, we can have faith to act on it. The reason we can respond in faith is that we have heard God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what produces our faith. Not that we went to church and said some little prayer and dunked in some water, but that we're becoming people of faith. And one word that we truly afraid of, and that this is the thing that is required in order for our faith to be built, is our obedience. To experience breakthrough in the blessed life not only takes faith, it also takes obedience. And God is eager to lead us into blessing. But when he directs us to do something, we have to obey that. When I went to the barbershop that day up here in Eustis, and the Lord told me, I want you to pray for that lady before I leave that barbershop that day. Too many people in here. We in a worldly environment. I'm in the barbershop. That ain't what you do at the barbershop, right? We talk about the football game or the baseball game or the whatever, but we don't talk about Jesus at the barbershop. Because number one, I don't know many of these people that well. Yeah, they know I'm a pastor, but I want to be real with you because we go through these things and we feel like we can't. And why do we feel like we can't? Because our flesh is not how God gets things done. It is by our faith, my trust in God through the Spirit of me. Trusting in God in that moment, in that time. And when I walk out to my truck and God is burning in my heart so hard to go back in there and pray for that lady, and I shut my pickup door and walked in that back in that room and I said, "Ma'am, can I pray for you?" And when I said that, I broke into tears, and she did, and wow. The whole barbershop got quiet. And that's not me. That's not something you do. It's the Spirit of God that begins to. Why? Because the lamp is burning. You can't control the lamp. You can only have the lamp burning by our obedience, and our obedience produces the faith. The more we obey, the more we can expect God to lead us. Taking time to hear God is vital to spiritual maturity. That's the problem that we have in our nation today, is we don't take the time to hear God. It leads to spiritual maturity in the blessed life. And the only way to experience breakthrough we need is to trust him so our faith can be built. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8. When we're walking and we've walked in obedience and we're honoring God, and I'm full and I'm spilling out and I'm like that cup of coffee, and man, God is good. I've heard Damon say that more times you'd think, man, he's just having a fit, but he's been faithful and trusting and waiting on God. He said, "I know it's in God's time, and I know things is in God's timing, and I'm just waiting on God. I'm believing God. I'm scared, but I'm believing God." Let me tell you, when we remain faithful, this is what verse 1, chapter 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh." Here's where I want to tell you. This is where the separation comes. I've said this to y'all many, many times. Our flesh can't understand the things of God. That's why I wanted to get in my truck that day and drive away from the barbershop, because my flesh man don't understand the purpose of God, because the flesh can't have an inheritance from God. The flesh is going to return to dust. And my human mind has to be done away with, and my stinking thinking. And that's, Paul said, we got to learn to die daily, because the battle really is here in the mind, in every one of us, amen? And our mind is the heart that God lives in. God don't move into your pump over here, because I'm going to tell you about that pump. You feed that pump enough good greasy cheeseburgers, and someday it's going to attack you. But the mind is the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when we believe what we believe and we walk in the fullness of who God is, this is what he says: there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what made me turn around and go back in that barbershop. He said in verse 3, he said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteous requirement, listen to this right here, if we're going to meet the requirement, it has to come from and be birthed into my life from the Spirit of Almighty God and from the resurrected Christ Jesus. It's the only way we meet the requirement. It's not what we know. It's not what we think we know and how many scripture we can quote. It is the trust that I put in Jesus that will lead me in all my adversity and let me be the light that I need to be for his kingdom, because I'm going to trust him through everything I got to go through in this life. I'm not defeated. He said that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set the things of the Spirit. Do you understand that? That's where Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. But when we're not hungry for that and we don't want that, he ain't going to force it on you. It is our freedom that Jesus gives us, that we have a hunger for his kingdom purpose. That I want my friends and I want my church family to be able to call on me when they need prayer. Because we got to help each other through this life. That's why we, in John chapter 15 and 17, that we become one together with him as he was with the Father, and all become one together. But when the flesh man says, I have faith, but can't unite and walk in unity with people in our own congregation, we compromise and we put out the lamp, because God ain't going to light it for us when that's our heart. And he said in verse 4 that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then he says this in verse 6, for the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God. The carnal man. That's why the flesh will tell you, don't go back in the barbershop and pray for them people. This ain't where you do that. You're going to make a fool of yourself. That's the carnal man speaking to you. You know, you've seen them little commercials where you got one on one shoulder and one on the other one. We have to understand what we're listening to. And to have enmity against God means strongly opposed. I don't want to do that. I don't want to embarrass myself. I don't want to embarrass me. Man, we cheat ourselves when we don't walk in obedience to God. He said, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And then he says this important truth right here in verse 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Faith ain't produced by the flesh. Faith is produced by the Spirit. And I'm going to ask Jared and them to come on. And as they come up here, I want to take you over and over again. We talked about this last week. The Bible tells us, seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Search for me with all your heart. Joel 2, verse 12 says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And so rend your heart. Rend is to separate. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. He relents from doing harm. Separating ourselves from everything that's displeasing to him is radical pursuit of obedience to him. And my radical obedience to obey God produces the faith in me that will manifest itself to mankind. It will cause the lamp to burn. It'll cause us to gird our waist and be ready. And it's tearing our heart is intensely personal, that I'm going to separate myself from what I used to be. Because I want to be everything God wants me to be. And this is my prayer for us today as individuals and as a church. We may reach the requirement. May we reach the requirement that brings his richest blessings to our families, to our church, to our community, to our life, to our friends. What if, as the band begins to play, what if all of us just shut ourselves away? And I got to ask you this. How many people call you for prayer? Hey, man, will you pray for me? How many times have you ever had that happen? And if you ain't had that happen ever in your life, I got to challenge you. Quit being separated from what the will of God is in your life. The will of God is that you be a lamp, that you burn, that you manifest his faith, that I'm trusting him. And if we never will allow God to use me in that moment, in those things in life, if I don't allow God to speak through me, if I don't manifest who he is, but why do we do that? Because I'm gonna tell you why I am. Because he's been so good to me that I want everybody to know how good he's been to me. I can't hide it. It's like that cup of coffee. I can't hide it. But what if we never, ever manifested who he was? Who would people call? And this is where our world is coming to if the church don't begin to be what God has called us to be, and if we don't begin to walk in the faith that God is trying to produce in each and every one of us. Faith is produced, not claimed. And faith is produced by obedience. And when we're obedient, then there's people that recognize that. And when they hit adversity in their life, they're calling you. Hey, will you pray for me? I need you to pray for me. That don't just happen here. I get calls from all over this nation through my years of rodeo and working with folks and praying with folks and sharing the gospel with folks. From all over this world, they call. Misai. What I'm telling you is you're cheating yourself out of faith. You're cheating yourself out of the blessing of the Holy Spirit if you don't have somebody calling on you. What about your family? If we're not faithful to who God is calling us to be. Man, I want my family to know Jesus. Are we having our waist girded and our lamp burning so that our family can see that? Because if we're not, we're cheating our family out of the blessings of God. And I'm going to ask y'all to stand with me. May we reach the requirement that brings His richest blessings to our family, our church, and our community. So I want to ask you, where are you? What do you need from God today? How much faith do you want to have? You can't have the faith without the obedience. We can't be ready to be what God wants us to be in this world without our obedience to Him. As the band plays, I want to pray and then invite you where you are. And I want to challenge you to come out. Come out. It's time for us to begin to seek God together as a family, as a church family. I thank God for men in this church that I call on to pray for me. Lord, today I love you. And I want to thank you for my brothers. I want to thank you for Jared. I want to thank you for Steve. I want to thank you for Leon. All these men, God, and I'm going to miss a bunch of them. John Baker. I thank you for Damon. I thank you for Jim Riley. I thank you for these brothers that I have in my life that I can call on and ask them to pray for me. Raymond. God, you're faithful. And it is the faithful that has experienced you that I want to partner with to impact our community, to impact our church. And I'm asking you right now, God, do what you intend to do in every heart in this room right now. And may we open our hearts. May we stop saying we're people of faith and not be obedient. I pray for that today. I pray for our hearts to be turned. And we could be like the worker that goes, man, I've been playing with this cell phone too much. I'm going to get about my job. May we lay down the things that we think make us whole and turn to the only one that can make us whole, and that is your Son, Jesus. And I give you the praise for all of that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.